This is the September 17th meeting of the PNB Governance Committee. I'm going to call the roll as our secretary is, R. Paul Martin is not here, couldn't make it and told us so. Nia Bediako?
Present.
Wesley Bethune? Wesley? I know you're there. I heard you just a minute ago. Christopher Condon?
Here.
Brian Edward Siegert?
Here.
Sherna Gluck? Not here. Vajra Kilgar? Not here. Luzette King? Not here. R. Paul Martin? Not here. Sean Casey O'Brien?
Present.
George Ryder? Here. Tracy Rosenberg is not here. Joseph Wanzawa?
Not here.
Joe?
Here, sorry.
Yeah. Ed Weisskopf?
Here.
Okay, so that's seven. Wesley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I had my mute on.
Great. Okay, so that's eight. That's a quorum. You should have all have a copy of the proposed agenda, but we can move things around or change times as you'd like. The first item on the agenda is something from Sherna, and she has asked to put that aside for the time being. The thing she asked to replace it with was to send around yes statements. And I did that about a week or 10 days ago. I sent Grace the both the ethics statement and the whistleblower policies, both the ones for California and the one for New York. So I believe that's handled. So I'm simply going to take that off the agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda as it stands?
What time did you send it, George?
What time did I send what?
The agenda.
Oh, just a moment. Three 3:25 p.m. I guess that's my time, so I guess it would be 4:25 your time.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, hearing no objections. Let's move to the first item, which is Chris Condon's motion on. Oh, I'm sorry. There is one other item. Chris had sent me an email in August 17th, which I'm going to put on at the bottom of the list ahead of Ted's motion, since that was received afterwards. So you all have that through PAC.gov. I sent it again just a few minutes ago.
What motion is that? Which of those two motions are you referring to now?
This is the one with regard to waivers.
Okay, that can be dealt with sometime over the next couple of months.
Yeah, that's true. We don't need to do much before the elections. Okay, so, Chris, would you like to motivate 15 minutes for this?
George?
Yes.
I don't know if this is appropriate, but I have a close friend who earned their membership by volunteering hours. And she has made every effort to get a ballot and to talk with the local election supervisor, the volunteer coordinator. I don't know. She's left messages for the station manager.
Ted, it's out of order here.
Where does one go?
The station manager. Or the volunteer coordinator, but if they can't get satisfaction, I think you should see the general manager.
And if the general manager won't return phone calls?
I think it's up to the local election supervisor at this
point. Yes, that was my next suggestion. Go see the election supervisor and make the complaint that she's actually legitimate.
They should be the final arbiter of eligibility.
That's right.
At KPFK, there's been lots of reversals. As soon as someone presents proof that they are a member, it's so hard for these election supervisors because the record keeping is so bad at these at, you know, keeping records of who's volunteering for what. And a lot of people are falling between the cracks. It's not just your friend. There's lots of people. But we, but it, it's been a fairly good, the election supervisors, as soon as they get evidence, that, for them to reverse the decision on a case-by-case basis.
Question for the chair, point of information. Should the clock be running? Has the debate started on this?
It was about to, but that sort of intervened. So started again, 15 minutes. Chris, would you motivate this motion?
Yeah, I think it's quite simple. What we're asking for is for programmers who receive foundation funding to disclose that foundation funding in detail. We're not asking for them not to receive it. We're just asking them to disclose it. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what this motion is for, creating some thresholds where, you know, small amounts of money don't need to be disclosed. You know, I'd say in excess of $5,000 a year. You know, if someone's getting help on production, that's not really relevant. But and or if someone's receiving more than $25,000, that they need to disclose it for 3 years in going back. Really, the objective of this is to have Amy Goodman tell us where she's getting the money and what the money's buying. But it's not just Amy, it's just to set a policy. I'm just uncomfortable with programmers getting money and we don't know what that money's for. We don't know what kind of programming it's buying. I don't want to be attacking any individual or any program on this. I just want to try and set a policy. That's basically it.
Anyone want to speak to it?
Point of information, George.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
In terms of Amy, Amy is an independent contractor. So how could that apply to her? She's not an unpaid producer.
This is not talking about paid producers. It's talking about any programmer.
Unpaid producers. I just want us to really think it's
distinctions. It's anyone who's got a program.
May I finish?
Yes.
I just want us to be careful live stream how we're talking about Amy, an independent contractor. That's all I'm saying. Since we're the governance committee, I think we need to be careful.
Anyone else like to speak to this?
May I respond to that? I just used Amy Goodman as an example.
Let me see if there's anyone else wants to speak first.
Okay.
Brian?
Anybody else want to speak to this?
Brian, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
So actually, that answered one of my questions. So basically, any show we get, whether it's coming from in-house or a syndicated producer of programming, you want them to basically submit this information about where their money's come from.
I provide that in the last paragraph.
Uh-huh. I see the waiver stuff.
Waiver.
Because
in some cases it's going to be impractical.
Right. Well, can people mute? I'm having a very hard time hearing. There's a lot of background noise. So I think Democracy Now! Is a good hypothetical. It's an outside organization with a $4.5 million per year budget. Presumably they have multiple funders beyond Pacifica. This says they would have to provide copies of all their grant agreements going back 3 years, and that Pacifica would make those public records. I mean, is that correct about how this would apply to Democracy Now?
I don't know. It might be just as well if they provided us a summary.
Okay, but it says they shall provide the amount of monies received and any contractual or grant agreements related to that funding for the current
year. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they have to provide the original documentation. That could be provided in a paragraph.
Okay, but that's not the language of your motion. I mean, if that's your intention, we can revise it to reflect that.
I would defer to the will of the body on it. The body has more experience than me.
I guess I'm just also kind of like curious about what the framework is here. We don't have power to compel Democracy Now to do anything. I guess in theory we could take them off the air, but we're still on the hook to pay them in excess of $600,000 a year for the next couple of years.
If they refuse to comply, and I'm not talking about Democracy Now, if any programmer refuses to comply, then it becomes an issue of what you do about it. I don't want to deal with what you do about it in this motion. I just want to deal with what the policy is, and then it becomes a question of whether people comply with the policy or whether they don't. And then if they don't comply with the policy, that's an issue that people have to deal with, you know, by negotiation or renegotiating contracts or whatever people want, however people want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the issue of what happens in non-compliance here because, you know, maybe there won't be any.
Like KPFT, for instance, would have to ask BBC to hand over a list of all its funders.
Right. Would have to ask what? KPCC? Why?
No, the BBC. They carry the BBC News.
Yeah, but this is that is really contemplated in the waiver area, let me read it. Any waiver to this requirement must have the written consent of the GM of the respective station, blah, 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 and the ratification, such as in the case of a purchased or syndicated program where compliance is not practical. There are issues where it won't be practical, and in that case, the GM or the ED just waives the requirement.
This is Nia George.
Hey, Nia.
This is Joe.
I'm just a little concerned. I think maybe we should. I'd like to move a motion to have the chair of the governance committee check with the general counsel on this motion first before we act, because we're bringing up all these variables, and I'm not quite comfortable with us voting on this when, you know, I mean. We have some very good arguments going. I just want to make sure that this thing is airtight. I wouldn't put that in the motion, but I move that the chair of the governance committee discuss this with the general counsel and then get back to us.
So it's been a motion to postpone until such time as I can talk with Ricardo about...
Exactly.
And what are the issues, Nia, that you're concerned about?
Well, just the contractors, you know. I know that there are the waivers, and those waivers could apply to DN and the BBC, but there might be other people out there that waivers might apply to. It just doesn't seem like we are really ready to vote on this now.
Well,
I wanted us to just do it really.
Next is Joe.
I hear what Nia is saying. There probably are some legal aspects of this that the motion doesn't necessarily contemplate or needs to. So I would either before or after. I still see that we could pass a motion and add that as an amendment. Or not pass it, as the case may be, as an amendment that it be reviewed by counsel as part of as to the motion. But as to the motion itself, I think that, I'm just backing up a little bit, back to Nia's point. I think it is possible that, say, you know, that there could be a program that does receive funding under condition, maybe this will the waiver anticipates. On a you know, anonymous basis or something, you know, there might be some deal like that would bar Pacifica from getting that information. Nevertheless, I think that as a general policy, I think it's a good one because there is a way in which for the reason why Pacifica doesn't take, you know, corporate underwriting or anything like that directly is because we want to keep Pacifica independent and programming independent. So it's important that Pacifica keeps and has a sense of what is influencing
programs coming onto Pacifica. You know, if it turns out that, you know, there's a program, they get some of their money from, you know, Richard Mellon Escape or something like that, we may want to know that. It doesn't mean we'll censor that programming. But I think it's just a matter of, it's kind of, this motion seems to me really in the area of due diligence, which is a good practice. And I think it would indirectly would also collaterally highlight the point that there are a lot of programmers who essentially program for, not only program for free in terms of not getting a remuneration from Pacifica, but program for free in terms of using their own personal resources. And it would be interesting to get a sense of programmers that, you know, program for Pacifica, you know, based on their whatever, night savings or, you know, night shift job or whatever it is, and programmers who receive funding. I mean, just not to prejudice one type of program or the other, but just to get a sense of what's going on. So in that sense, I would fully support the motion. At the same time, I think it's important that it does get some kind of legal scrutiny. Of course, someone like BBC would be clearly, obviously, the British government funding BBC.
Can I make a suggestion? This is Chris, and can I go on the stack, please?
Yes, sure. No, and I'm done. I'll leave it. I'll stop there.
There's no one else on the stack. Go ahead, Chris.
I think that there should be no impediment to this committee passing it, and the committee passing it constitutes merely a recommendation to the PNB, and you know, in between the governance committee dealing with this and the PNB dealing with this, that would be a good time to get this legal review, because I think the legal review is not so much on the motion itself, but on questions of implementation.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to it, to Nia's motion to postpone?
Brian here.
Ed, Brian.
Well, I guess I'm of two minds about it. I have problems with the motion, but I think we're probably spending too much having our general counsel review things like this already. I mean, I think we should try to clean up the motion. Honestly, the language of it just doesn't make sense to me right now. If the intent is for it to apply to big syndicated programs like Democracy Now, there's no mechanism to get them to comply. The reporting language, it seems to me, would require them to disclose every single donor they have who gives more than $5,000 per year, which might be a number of private individuals, and all other sources of revenue, which should include grants, fees, whatever. I don't think they're going to want to go draw up 3 years of records and submit them to us, nor are we in any position to ask them to. I actually think this scenario, I can't even remember who raised it, posed by, are there local people at our stations, paid, unpaid, or otherwise, who are getting outside funding for work they do at Pacifica, is more pressing, because that's an ethics issue that's at our doorstep. But that doesn't seem to be what the motion's addressing right now. So, yeah.
Do you want to make it, well...
I think we have to dispose of Nia's motion first.
I think we have to do that first. Anyone else want to speak to Nia's motion? Okay. Is there any objection to Nia's motion of postponing this until we get an opinion from Ricardo?
Yeah.
Okay. Or reworking it. This thing needs to be reworked.
Nia, are you willing to have it reworked right now?
I mean, we could try it and then see what maybe Brian has some.
Nia's got to
has
stop. We can't hear her.
Maybe Brian has some language. I'm willing to do that just to expedite. I don't want to hold up the meeting.
Okay.
I'd be willing to do that, and then depending on how it sounds, then I'll vote accordingly.
Let's have a go at trying to rewrite this in ways that the committee is comfortable with.
19 seconds left. Mr. Chair,
we'll need to extend time. Seems like an important issue, actually. The intent clearly seems worthwhile, and I'd like to extend time for 10 minutes. Is that agreeable?
Objection.
Okay. Any objection to extend? Who was that? Was objecting?
Sean.
going. Okay. Would you prefer a smaller time, a longer time, or no time?
I would prefer no time. Let's vote on it. But as Chris said, there is plenty of time between now and going to the PNB for our lawyer to look at it. We can fix it at the PNB level. Let's move on.
Okay. So does anyone besides myself interested in extending time?
I am.
Yes.
Brian. I think the point of committees is you fix things there so that the PNB doesn't
right.
have.
Exactly.
Okay, so on my motion to extend time for 10 minutes, I'll take a roll call vote. Nia?
Yes.
Wesley?
Yes.
Chris?
I'm going to abstain on this since I'm the author of it.
And Brian?
Sure.
Sean? Sean?
Did you call me? I'm sorry, George. Did you say me?
Yes.
I'm against it. No, I don't want to vote for an extension. Thank you.
Okay. I'm for it. Joe?
Yeah. Sure, yes.
Okay. Ted?
Yeah.
Okay, so with no objections, so we'll extend time for 10 minutes. Sean, would you set the clock for that?
No problem.
Brian, would you like to have a go at it? I mean, what I hear you saying is that we should exclude the syndicated shows from this and make it apply to people who are really in-house. Was that your intention?
Yes, although you sound like you're underwater. Are you on a wireless connection, George?
No, I'm on the speakerphone. I'll try something else. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to go off the speakerphone. Would you like to have a go?
I would revise the first sentence to start all paid and unpaid programmers who produce programs or specials. I think one-off specials can pose the same problem for Pacifica radio stations and receive any outside, i.e. non-Pacifica funding. I would actually drop the $5,000 cap. I mean, you have plug-ola, pay-ola problems if someone's getting a free lunch in order to play a song. At any rate, that's about as far as I've gotten since you suggested hacking away at it. So it would be to switch it to all paid and unpaid programmers. I think those are the people whose conduct we're responsible for.
Well, yeah. So that's a clear change. Anyone want to speak to that change?
I would like to speak to it.
Good, Chris.
Really, the intention, if it doesn't apply to Democracy Now! Or programs like this, that defeats the entire purpose of it. The reason that I created this motion is because there has been a lot of debate about whether or not Amy Goodman has received CIA Conduit Foundation funding from the Ford Foundation and other places known long time suspected of being conduits for CIA funding, and she is accused, or not accused, but the issue is raised that she has received Ford Foundation for 9/11 coverage. Now, I'd like to know if that's actually the case, and I think a lot of people associated with Pacifica would like to know, because we'd like to know what kind of 9/11 coverage the Ford Foundation paid for, and we'd like to know what we're getting for our money, and what kind of influences that money has created, and you know, the whole issue of Amy Goodman and 9/11 has been an ongoing one for years and years and years, one that she has consistently ducked. And I would like to create a set of conditions whereby she can't duck it anymore. And that, those conditions may, I mean, this whole thing may really manifest itself in contract negotiations with Democracy Now! In the future. And particularly whether or not she complies with this. If she doesn't comply, there's nothing we can do about it. I specifically don't want enforcement mechanisms here. It's just policy. And then the issue becomes whether people do or do not comply with the policy. And if people don't comply with the policy, that might be a factor in whether or not their programs stay on the air, or whether or not their contracts get renewed, or whether or not their contracts get renewed at the same level. so I specifically don't want to agree to any changes that would exclude Democracy Now from this policy. And not, I'm only using Democracy Now as an example. This is not going after her. It's just a convenient example. Okay, I'm finished.
This is Ted. I would like to be on the stack.
You're it, Ted. Go ahead.
But who is that? Who was that who was just speaking?
Chris Condon.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I'm a very strong supporter of Democracy Now, and the comments that I just heard...
Me too.
Well, the comments that you just made, Chris, could make you a suspect of being a supporter or a
hey, Ted,
an agent.
Ted.
Yes?
You don't need to describe what you think about Chris's comments. What do you have to say about it?
The comments that were just made,
yes,
could have been made by somebody with an agency of the government that wants to destroy one of the most successful programs that we air on KPFT here in Houston. I believe that if Chris wants to get information about Democracy Now, he should present a motion specific to Democracy Now, and that this policy that he is putting forth, which sounds like an end run around being transparent as to what he really wants,
it
should be amended.
All right. Because I take a point of personal privilege on this. This is,
yes, you may.
This is going to motives. My motives are as stated, and there's no hidden agenda here. The motives are transparent on the face of the motion and transparent in my comments. The only reason that I raised Democracy Now is because of the issue that I've raised. Whether she, you know, I'd like to know, and I think that we all deserve to know. And I am never and have never advocated removing Democracy Now from the air, going after Democracy Now in any way, shape, or form. That would be not consistent with my goodwill participating in governance for the best interests of Pacifica. It's not in the best interests of Pacifica to go after Democracy Now. It might be in the best interests of Pacifica to renegotiate the contract when it runs out at a substantially less amount of money. That's my only
motive. Got it. And anyone else want to speak to the amendment, which is essentially to eliminate the syndicated programs and to apply this to in-house production?
Yeah, this is Joe.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, I don't understand the logic behind separating out the syndicated programs. It seems to me the same rule has to and should apply. For me, one of the main reasons for the motion is to get, you know, a 360-degree view, a comprehensive view of all, you know, what... how each program is funded, creating a separate category of syndicated program versus locally produced programs. I don't understand the distinction, especially one could become the other, as in the case of Democracy Now! Itself. And certainly, if there's a syndicated program, separating out in a syndicated program would shield the very type of programs we might want to scrutinize more closely. You know, if a program originates, you know, from some outside group with interests contrary to those of Pacifica Mission, there'd be no way for us to get an understanding, to be aware of that, and could be blindsided by it later. So the fundamental basis of this policy is very, very much in keeping with the making sure that we are furthering the mission of Pacifica
and by selecting programs to be in Pacifica, ensuring that those programs are also in keeping with that mission. Not knowing who is funding syndicated programs could undermine that objective without us even knowing it. So I'd be opposed to that, to the amendment, for that reason.
Okay, I wanted to say something myself, which is that the language in here which says the GM shall forthwith report and people shall do things, given that we don't have an enforcement procedure for anybody who's in fact an independent producer, Amy, the BBC, Al Jazeera, should we get it? I would like to see that shall reduced to will be asked to disclose. I mean, it seems to me that's something we might be able to do without having to imply that somehow we're going to. If you don't do this, then there's going to be some sort of response from us.
George, I would agree to that suggestion.
Well, I think I'm making that as a second amendment to the motion. Is there any objection to changing the language shall to will be asked to in the appropriate places? Okay.
That's almost like that's a weak must.
Yeah.
I think
it has to be. Yes. Who is that? Brian?
It does. Right. Yeah. It begs the question: who does the asking? I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad change, but you can't say something has to be done and then get angry when nobody does it if you haven't identified the person that has to do it.
The GMs of the station are the obvious persons, but
so we're going to have five GMs asking Amy for her funders?
No, if it's syndicated, it would obviously be the ED, I think.
Yes, that's correct. That's the intention.
Mr. Chair, we are at time.
Do we want to extend for another 10 minutes on this?
Yes.
Any opposition to extending for another 10 minutes?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I want to discuss these issues, but we got 10 things on this agenda.
I understand.
And if we extend on everything, we're never going to get through. And next month, we're going to have 12 things on the agenda.
Can we just vote on it? And if it needs to be cleaned up at all, do it at the PNB level.
Do I have anyone who wants to extend time for 10 minutes?
This is Brian. This is the only motion that we have full language for. It looks like everything else is a discussion item. I don't see that there's anything wrong with trying to improve it before we send it on. I mean, it's not much of a pile up to have.
Every one of those issues at the bottom of this agenda have lengthy discussions and are going to have motions attached to them.
We don't have a motion yet on the floor to extend time, so there's no need to discuss this. If I don't get the motion, then
I thought I thought you moved it, George.
No, I was just asking if anybody wanted to. And
yes, George, this is Ted, and I would like to as well.
Okay, good. There's obviously objections to that, so let's take the roll on that for another 10 minutes. Extending for another 10 minutes. Nia?
Yes, George, and by the way, ever since you moved to whatever phone you moved to, the reception has been very crackly. Is it just me or are other people noticing that?
No, this happened
to me. You're waking up too, Nia.
Yes. My choice is either that or the speakerphone. I'll bring the speakerphone closer and we'll see. Maybe that will work better.
I think what Sean said. What did Sean say?
I was saying that both George and Nia are breaking up. Now, this may be the connection just our teleconference, but both of you are sound like you're underwater, and we're getting every third word.
Is this any better?
Here, Sean.
Yeah, sure. No, so do you, Brian.
You're terrible, George.
I'm terrible.
Not as a human being, just over the phone.
I appreciate that. And this is no better.
Well, that's better. No, that sounds better.
That is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll stay with this.
And Brian asked a question that I didn't get either, so.
Well, we're taking a vote on extending for 10 minutes.
Right,
so.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
So, Nia?
Yes.
Wesley?
Yes.
Chris?
No.
Brian?
Yes.
Sean?
No.
Yes, that's me. Joe?
No.
Ted?
Yes.
Okay, so it's 5-3. I guess that's not 2/3, so it would be 6-3. So we go to a vote on Brian's motion, amendment, that is. Would you state the amendment again?
It's to strike the words, all programmers, program providers, collectives, and or independent production companies, in the first sentence.
Yeah.
And replace it with all paid and unpaid programmers.
Okay. That's the amendment.
And
I'm going to take a vote on that.
Make it. You'd have to replace the other instances of the same phrase.
Same thing, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make it consistent. Do the first sentence of the second paragraph.
Okay. Nia, this is on that amendment that you just heard.
Yes. This is on the one who said paid and unpaid, yes?
Yes. So, Wesley?
Pass.
Chris?
No.
Brian?
Yep.
Sean?
No.
I'm going to pass for the moment. Joe?
No.
Ed?
Yes.
Wesley?
Here, let me flip a coin. Yes.
That's a yes. Okay, so...
Hey, Wesley, you're supposed to use a two-headed coin, man.
Okay, so...
What is wrong with this phone? This is terrible.
George, yeah, everybody's terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to vote. What? Yes?
That, you moved, and then all this crackling started. Don't move.
Okay. I'm going to vote no. So it's 4-4. So the motion fails.
I reported 4-3.
Well, let's see. I have, as opposed, I have no's. I have Christopher, Sean. Myself
and Joe.
Okay,
and Joe. That's
Sean.
Four. So the motion fails. So we're now voting on the amendment fails. We're voting on the motion itself. I'll take the roll on that. Nia.
On the entire motion, you're voting
unamended.
Wait, you didn't. There was an amendment passed without objection, and that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not quite right. The shalls are being replaced. Will be asked to by the appropriate person.
No, I have to
no.
vote no.
Okay, Wesley.
Pass.
Brian.
I would rather we worked on it, but I got to vote no on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yes.
Let's see, Joe?
On the main motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ed?
Because we haven't worked on it, no.
Yeah. Right.
Who have I missed besides myself? I'm missing some people here.
Wesley, didn't he pass?
Wesley passed. Wesley, how do you want to vote?
Could you reread the motion?
Well, it's the whole thing in front of you. It's essentially asking any programmer or collective or independent production company, and that was the point of the last amendment.
Oh, got it.
Who's getting outside funding from any source in excess of $5,000 or if it's in excess of $25,000, the disclosure would be asked for a period of not less than 3 years prior to the date, and any waivers would be by the consent of the GM or the ED. So that's the motion. How do you want to vote on that?
Yeah, but you need to read the whole thing, though, George, because just to paraphrase it like that, I don't think Wesley's gotten the gist of it.
Do you have it in front of you, Wesley?
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm looking at it, and
We have not only BBC, but we have NPR doing World Cafe, and American Public Media doing...
point of order. Point of order. We're not debating.
Yes, that's correct. I'll just take it as Wesley's thinking out loud. So, Wesley, yes. You need to just choose a vote on this, yes or no, or abstain.
Yes.
Okay, so that's... I missed somebody. Wesley is yes. Oh, Chris, you're yes on this, right?
Correct.
And okay. I'm going to vote yes on this. Okay, so the motion passes. Will be brought forth to the PNB. I will run it by informal. I'll ask for the informal response. We'll get one anyway if we bring it up to the PNB.
It needs work, George.
I know that. I agree with that, but it seems to me it's, the principle of it is worth putting forward. It would be nice to know.
Absolutely.
How our environment is who's being paid out of our environment and by who. The next item is 10 minutes, and Brian's correct. I don't have a procedure I want to suggest. I wanted to have a discussion about how to do this. We actually have not had very many bylaws amendments proposed to the committee. In fact, the only one that I can think of is the one that Ted has further down the line. So in terms of procedures, we don't really need anything at the moment. But my feeling is that what's needed is, in fact, a serious look at the bylaws. There have been lots of stuff that's come up. Some of the ones, for instance, on the meeting notifications have been sources of contention. They're widely ignored where they're totally impractical. So, for instance, all of the PNB meetings, the emergency meetings, are supposed to be cited three times a day on every station. It doesn't happen. There are bylaws which are being just ignored. There are bylaws which are being, hard to interpret.
Point of information.
I think there's some things needed, yes?
What does the word vetting mean, ignored?
The word vetting means if there's more than we want to put forth to the PNB, we would have a recommendation, yes or no, we think this is a good bylaws amendment. I mean, it seems to me the Governance Committee is the natural place to do that.
Right.
And, George, on the stack, this is Sean.
Sean, go ahead.
I just want to slay.
Sean, then Nia.
I just want to slightly disagree with you, George. I remember in my first year on the LSB, there were three bylaw amendments. I don't recall all three. I do know that one dealt with getting rid of one of the in-person meetings. So we have been through this. And it's really a point of information, George. What you're talking about here with the procedure for vetting is that all bylaw amendments will first come to governance, and then we will give a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or at least, try to correct them if we think that's capable. Is that what we're talking about here?
That's what we're talking about, and we can't prevent bylaws amendments from being made by other routes because there are things in the bylaws that allow that. But it seemed to me if we were to sort of try to encourage a serious attempt to revise the bylaws on our watch, then this committee would be the place to.
George, a point of information: could we set it up so that anybody can propose a bylaw amendment? I totally agree with that, and that's how it should be. But shouldn't they start it out in governance? I mean, we're not taking away anybody's rights. We're just saying, start the process with us, so that we can perhaps strengthen your amendment.
You don't have to. I guess my feeling is, how are we going to encourage people to do that? Because
If we made it mandatory, we said that all bylaws...
We can't do that. Because there's another procedure for six members of the PNB, I think it is, or three, I've forgotten.
Two LSBs.
Why couldn't those LSBs, if six LSBs or whatever the number is, want to propose it, we say, fine, propose it, bring it to governance, we look it over.
There is another route. People do not have to do it this way. All we can do is recommend.
Well, then why are we even messing with this new route? Why don't we just say, stick to the bylaws, because all you're going to do, if that's the case, if we can't change that, is muck up the system. That's what I find we do a lot. We recreate what we already have in place, and we waste a hell of a lot of time doing that, okay? And if that's the situation, screw governance. Run it through as the bylaws say.
A point of order, George. A point of order. There was a stack, and Sean said point of information, and I'm next on the stack.
You are.
I agree.
Correct.
Sorry about that. No problem.
Now, I think what we need to get back in order, we don't need a bylaws change for this. The order of the in-person meeting is completely off, and that needs to be back on track. If my memory serves me correctly, Vajra on the call. It used to be January, New York, that's first. Second was Houston.
Excuse me, point of order. This
then,
is not germane to number three, George.
I'm gonna allow it because it seems to me what Nia is saying is, short of bylaws amendments, we could also make standing rules, which would. I think you're saying, Nia, that the bylaws actually require a particular sequence. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I don't know how Sean could predict what I'm going to say about in-person meetings.
What does that got to do with bylaw amendments?
I'm going to rule that it's in order. Continue, Nia. Go ahead.
Okay. So we made the exception and not have that fourth meeting last year, right? But now we need to get back the sequence. And that doesn't require a bylaw change. But somehow as governance, we need to, I guess, maybe for 2010 to remind people or send something out saying, look, this is the sequence that we should be following. You know what I mean? Because
not germane to what we're talking
about.
Would
you stop interrupting?
No!
Yeah,
to make a point.
Sean, please. Okay. It is not an amendment. It's a procedural change. Nia, is there anything else about that you need to say?
No, but what are we going to do about it?
My feeling is that there are two levels in which we really might want to be involved. And I guess really what I'm asking the committee if it does want to be involved. One is bylaws amendments, where you really have to change the bylaws to do what you want to do. And the other is things like these procedures, which we just got through the PNB on recall, where the bylaws are sort of sufficiently vague or missing, that what was needed was essentially standing rules. How are we going to deal with these situations? So we could do either. I'd like to see whether there's a sense on the committee whether they want to take it on to be a source of vetting the bylaws. If no one wants to do it, then there's no point in going further with it. But my sense is that if we do want to do it, we're going to have to encourage people to actually put forth the bylaws amendments that they've been thinking about and have noticed all along, and encourage them to send them to the committee. Brian, were you on the stack?
No, but I'd like to be.
Okay, go ahead.
Was somebody else
on the stack? I heard somebody, a male voice, but I thought it was yours. Was there somebody else?
No, I would like to be after...
Okay, go ahead, Brian, and then Ted.
Well, I think it's completely appropriate for this committee to take up bylaws revisions. I think it's completely appropriate for us to propose them. I think this is the place to have that conversation. I think it's a more germane conversation than some of the other things we've taken up in the past few months. And I completely agree with you that there's all parts of the bylaws that proved in practice to be unimplementable. another part of reflection that we might want to make better. We should, I mean, if you want to be serious about it, we should look at this as the beginning of a one-year process, because many revisions would have to be put to our members on our next ballot.
Yep. Other thoughts about it, Ted?
Yeah, I would like to suggest to you, George, that we identify parts of the bylaws that we have issues with, and that means each member of this committee, I guess, read through the bylaws, and then the next step would be for the local governance committees, and I would hope that you, George, would be a part of that, and everyone at their local level would meet simultaneously like we did when we wrote the bylaws. And then from each of the five signal areas, people could come forth with their suggestions on changing those particular sections that we've identified as being problematic. And then this committee move forward with a solution. This 10 minutes to discuss these issues is not sufficient. I'm done.
Anybody else want to stack? Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I have no problem with attempting to fix all the irregularities in our bylaw, and I think we should look at this, particularly if we send it out to all five local boards to simultaneously meet and discuss what they want. We have to look at the governance committee like a conference committee in Congress, where you take all these differences and you try to lay them out in such a fashion that, you know, you harmonize them. I would be all in favor, you know, of that, and I'm not against any taking away anybody's right to submit a bylaw or anything. My only fear is, because we've done this before, is we mess around with things instead of just following the bylaws, and this creates all kinds of drama and concerns and agendas and conspiracies and yada, yada, yada. So that's my only concern. I do hope, as I said before, and I'll end with this, that if we do go through this process and we reach out to the local boards, that we use governance like a conference committee to try and harmonize and minimize conflict, and then present that to the local boards to vote up or down. Thank you. And we're at time. We're at time.
Okay. I will take the suggestions. My suggestion is that I'll notify the local boards that both the chairs and have them forward to the heads of the governance committees that we would like to take up revision of the governance committee. This governance committee would like to take up revision of the bylaws. Please send us any suggestions you have. We can then take that and, as what Ted suggested about feeding it back to the LSBs after that. For the moment, I think the task is to somehow generate interest in doing it. Is there any objection to the governance committee? I didn't hear any, but is there any objection to the governance committee taking on this task?
This is Chris. No, I think it's an excellent idea.
Okay. So if there's no objection to my suggestion for proceeding forward, I'll do that, and we'll be back next time with some. We'll put more into play in terms of actually being able to do this task.
A point of information, George. Are you asking all of the members of this committee to read the bylaws and bring forth their suggestions as well?
That would be nice.
Oh, I want to put that on the records. Yeah.
You've also had experience of the bylaws by now. That you have some sense of what's working and what doesn't.
So, right.
You know.
Point of order. Would maybe we should read the bylaws aloud?
Oh, God, no.
George, isn't time up?
We have time.
Time is up. Time is up.
This is our time. That's correct.
This is really patronage.
Did you guys see when Waxman and Markey introduced their climate change bill, the Republicans threatened to freeze it by requiring that every part of it be read aloud, which is like something short of a filibuster they can do.
Right, yeah.
So Waxman hired a speed reader.
really.
And they made the guy trot through the first three pages on camera just because it was such a novelty to have him in the room, and everybody in the committee got on their feet and applauded for him after he got it.
Well, I would suggest...
It was a 700-page bill.
Right,
got
exactly.
It. Okay, let's move on to Ted's changes to quorum rules. Ted, did you send us a specific motion, or do you want to discuss this, or what's the deal?
I want to discuss it. I think it's pretty simple.
Okay.
But then again, I thought something last month was pretty simple, and it wasn't. I hate to beat my chops when everybody's already on board.
Sean, would you keep time for this?
Yes, I started time when Ted started talking, correct.
Okay, good.
Okay. Robert's Rules of Order says that quorums of committees should be, or the board, should be 50% or whatever the body establishes as its quorum. It also says, and I read this tonight, that a body can meet without a quorum if they are willing to take on the repercussions of meeting without a quorum. Usually that applies to doing something with financial implications. I think we have wasted a lot of time. Well, we've actually violated the rules, thankfully. In many committees here in Houston, by going forth with our meetings, especially our Management Selection and Review Committee that met over the past summer, we didn't have quorums, but we had a deadline that we had to meet. And the bottom line is that committees have to report to the board. The board makes the ultimate decision. And I think we should establish a much lower threshold and we don't have to amend the bylaws. The bylaws say we follow Roberts. Roberts says that you can establish a lower threshold than 50%, and this would cease the problem we have in this committee and every other committee, local and national, in getting our business done. And when it's always reported to a higher authority, I see no problem in even two people having a committee meeting. I mean, they've got to post it properly and do all the protocols, but if two jackasses try to push something through, the board, local or national, should recognize that and throw it out. But
okay,
not having committee meetings.
Yeah,
we got the point. I just want to say, however, that this committee has actually never failed to meet quorum, and I want to acknowledge the members for the commitment to showing up and having made that happen.
Let me just say that we don't start on time because we're waiting for quorums frequently.
Yeah, but we talk about boxing.
Sure. Where all the good stuff happens. Sean, you go.
First of all, could you, Ted, just for the help of the body, could you cite in Robert's Rules of Order where you read those things so we can review it? It may help strengthen your argument. And
let me excuse myself and go get the book, and I'll let you all talk, and I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, thank you. And my only fear of doing away with quorum is we might legitimize a small group of people doing something who then go out and spend things in such a way that the board may not be aware of everything that goes on. And I get a little bit leery because of all the factions in Pacifica and the different agendas and everything of not having some basic rules to say this committee is in basic agreement or not in basic agreement on these issues. And I share Ted's angst at sometimes having to meet as a committee of a whole because not enough members of a particular committee take their commitment serious enough. And it is a serious problem. But you know, when I balance that against a small group of people saying, hey, we pushed this through, and they muddy the waters enough, and we could find ourselves in a serious problem. That's my only concern. And I'd love to have have what he's
Vajra,
cited.
This is Vajra.
Brian here.
Hi, Vajra. Welcome.
I've been on for a while, actually.
Oh, you have? Okay. Well, yeah. You want to? Yeah. Go ahead and speak. There's no one else on the stack.